Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 12, please. Nehemiah chapter 12, and we're going to break into the chapter the words of verse 27. The opening line will really dictate where we are and give you a grasp of the passage that is to follow. Nehemiah 12 and verse 27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem, to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem, and from the villages of Naphtali, also from the house of Gilgal, and out of the fields of Geba and Azmaveth. For the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves, and purified the people and the gates and the wall. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall, and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate, and after them went Hosea and half of the princes of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra, and Meshulam, Judah and Benjamin, and Shemaiah and Jeremiah, and certain of the priest's sons with trumpets, namely Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, and his brethren, Shemaiah, and Azariel, and Melaliah, and Gilaliah, Mai, Nethaniel, and Judah, Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, and Ezra the scribe before them. And at the fountain gate, which was over against them, they went up by the stairs of the city of David, at the going up of the wall, above the house of David, even unto the water gate eastward. And the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them, and I after them. And the half of the people upon the wall, from beyond the tower of the furnaces, even unto the broad wall. And from above the gate of Ephraim, and above the old gate, above the fish gate and the tower of Hananiel and the tower of Mea, even unto the sheep gate, and they stood still in the prison gate. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the rulers with me, and the priests, Eliakim, Maaseiah, and Minamim, and Micaiah, Elnoai, and Zechariah, and Hananiah with trumpets, and Maaseiah, and Shemaiah, Elazar, and Uzai, and Jehohanan, and Malchijah, and Elam, and Ezer. And the singers sang aloud with Jezrahiah, their overseer. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also, and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard, even afar off. Amen. Just ending the reading at verse 43, and we know the Lord will add his blessing upon it. Of course, you will know when I sit state that the walls of Jerusalem form a great part of this book that is called by Nehemiah. In the first chapter, we know that the walls of Jerusalem were destroyed. We know there also that Nehemiah left Shushan and he came to inspect the walls. And there then was the rebuilding of the walls, and there was the defending of the walls, and finally there was the completion of the walls. But what these verses describe, as I've said to you in the first sentence that we read, is the dedication of the walls of Jerusalem. What is obvious is that Nehemiah gave a leading role in the organizing of this celebration. That shouldn't be surprising because, of course, he sought to get permission from King Artaxerxes to give leave from the palace in Shushan. He had a great burden for the city of Jerusalem, and he was to get leave, and he was to get the letters that brought him across the borders and right to that city. He was also one who encountered many problems, and he was also one that knew the attacks of the enemy, both the outward attack as well as the attack inward and within the camp of Israel. So there was plenty of opposition Nevertheless, God strengthened his hand, and the work had been carried through to its successful conclusion. But note that that which was prominent in this dedication was thanksgiving. And it is simply that thought or that truth, men and women, that I want to consider before us in these verses before the Lord would help us in prayer tonight. The thanksgiving. I want you to see, first of all, the preparation here. I trust maybe you missed it, but you will see it, that there was preparation needed. And it involved two things, essentially, verses 27 to 30. It involved the Levites, but it also involved the purification. Who were the Levites? Well, generally, they were those who assisted the priests. They had the responsibility relating to the care and to the maintenance of the tabernacle. You remember in the wilderness wanderings, how it was the Levites that carried the tabernacle. They erected it. They took it down again. They had the responsibility, the control over the holy place. And the same, of course, was true with relation to the temple. And while there were different groups within the Levites, each with different functions, one of the groups of the Levites was responsible for the ministry of music. And if you look back at chapter 7 of Nehemiah, words of verse 43, you will see that after the captivity of Babylon, that a group of these returned to Judah. The Levites, verse 43, the children of Jeshua, of Kadmiel, and of the children of Hodavah, 74. The singers, the children of Saph, and 148. And then also from verse 73, we know that they were to dwell in Jerusalem. It says, so the priests and the Levites and the porters and the singers and some of the people and the Nethinim and all Israel dwelt in their cities. And when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. And so they went back to Judah, but they were to dwell in the cities. We read that earlier in our passage as well. And one of them is mentioned by name. Chapter 11 and verse 17 says, and Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. He's named. He's mentioned. He's a man that was known for prayer. He knew how to kneel in prayer. And so his name is recorded there. And he resided in the city of Jerusalem itself. And so when we come to chapter 12, where we were, verse 27, we understand that these were the Levites who made up the choir, if you like, who had the instruments, whose ministry was the music in the temple that was rebuilt. And among those who were given this ministry were two men by the name of Heman and Asaph. Those names will be familiar to you, particularly if you read the book of Psalms. I want you to see their task. 1 Chronicles chapter 25 and the words of verse 1. It tells us of David setting them apart. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, with cymbals, and the number of the workmen according to their service was. Verse 6, all these were under the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord, with cymbals, psalters, and harps for the service of the house of God, according to the king's order to Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman. And essentially, that's who we are reading about in these verses. It's the descendants of those whom David had set apart and had appointed for this great task. Where did they live? Well, you look at verse 28. We've touched on it. Some of the singers gathered themselves together both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem from the villages of Naphtathiah. and also from the house of Gilgal, or the fields of Geba and Asmaveth, for the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem. So they came back to Judah, but they didn't go back into Jerusalem. They went and they built their own villages around about. That meant they, when they weren't in the duty of the temple, it meant that they would return to their villages, and they would do so that they might take care of their fields. But in terms of the dedication of the rebuilt walls, it would involve all the singers and all the musicians. And so they were sought for from all of these villages. And they were sought so that they might be brought to Jerusalem. And the reason is given in the closing words of verse 27, because therein you have the remit, to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. That was their task. That was their duty. And that's why they were sought for. And they were brought even for this special dedication. I said to you there was two things by way of preparation. Not only bringing all the Levites in, but also there was the need which involved purification. Look at verse 30. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall. And the point to understand is this, that purification, of course, which involved the blood of the daily sacrifices, the process recognized that purity must precede praise. Purity must precede praise. They were coming to offer praise unto God at this great occasion, but first they must be purified. And again, I make reference to 2 Chronicles this time, chapter 29, in the words of verse 27. Let me just read it to you, because it says there, and Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. When the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And as you read that verse, you'll particularly notice the order. There's the mention of the sacrifice first, and then the singing. Then the praise or the song of the Lord with the trumpets. There's the offering of the sacrifice. There's the purification. Then there's the praise. Men and women, it is the heart that knows and that feels the value of the precious blood of God's own dear Son, not once for all sacrifice for sin that He offered in Calvary. It's that heart that knows the value of the blood that in turn is able truly to praise the Lord their God. The hymn writer captures it. We sing it many a time, but I wonder that we notice the words. What theme my soul shall best employ, thy harp before God, and make all heaven ring with joy. 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. The purpose of Christ's once for all atoning sacrifice, as Titus reminds us, or Paul writing to Titus, was that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Part of the preparation for the dedication of the walls was purification. Should we not also need to prepare our hearts as we come to offer our praise unto the Lord? We often encourage coming up, especially to the Lord's Supper, that God's people would prepare their hearts. You know, men and women, we ought to prepare our hearts every Sabbath, for every Sabbath, for every time that we worship. We ought to prepare our hearts as we come to pray before the throne of grace. Psalm 24 would enforce that upon my heart. Because it says in the words of verse 3, who shall ascend unto the hill of God, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. There's a need for preparation. And so there was here. Let me also show you that there was the presentation. What a scene this must have been in the city of Jerusalem to see. Nehemiah, the princes of Judah, they're there. Priests are there. The Levites are there. They're dressed in their white robes. The people are there. Who's that involved? We've read it in the passage. The men, the women, children. They're all present. They're all assembled. And what Nehemiah does is that he divides the company into two divisions. And both of them are led by singing priests and Levites and others with trumpets. And what they do is they ascend onto those great walls and they parade around those walls, giving thanks to their God, the God of heaven and of earth, the one for his great mercy toward them in the rebuilding work. One commentator helps us maybe to get a picture of what that must have looked like. Where he says, it seems that the two processions started from the valley gate on the southwest, one led by Ezra, proceeding via the south side of the city, while the other led by Nehemiah, proceeding by the north. The landmarks that are passed and that are mentioned in these verses are the gates that we come across in chapter 3. And so one leaves by going to the right, and the other company leaves by going to the left. And they walk right around the walls. But even though they were divided in two companies, it can be seen that this was a united presentation of thanksgiving. Nehemiah, the scribes, the priests, the princes, the Levites, the people, men, women, and children, they're all present for the celebration. They're all present to praise the Lord. Why should it be any different in our worship of the Lord as we offer our thanksgiving unto our great God? Great to see the children sitting beside mom and dad in the house of God. We should encourage that. It's scriptural. And you know, it was also not only united, it was fervent. The singers, we read, as the two companies now, look at verse 39, they meet, obviously, on the top side of the wall from above the gate of Ephraim, above the old gate, above the fish gate, the tower of Hananiel, the tower of Mea, even under the sheep gate, and they stood still in the prison gate. So the two, one to the left, one to the right, they converged together just there above the prison gate. And as they do so, the singers, look at the words of verse 42. It says, and Messiah and Shimeiah, Eliezer and Uzai and Jehohanan and Malkijah and Elam and Azair, and the singers sang aloud with Jezrahiah, their overseer. If you have a margin, look at it. It says they made their voice to be heard. They sang aloud. They made their voice to be heard. They lifted up their voice to God. This was no half-hearted singing. There was no need for anyone to stand up and coax them to do better. You know the way we have to do with the boys and girls coming up to Children's Sunday? Sometimes the preacher would need to do that with the adults as well. Fervent in their thanksgiving. They lift up their voices. And there's another time, you know, when we read similar words to that. It's the time, and again I go back to 2 Chronicles, it's the time when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into the temple. And of course that temple was built by Solomon. And I want you to note what happened. 2 Chronicles 5, we read of it in the words of verse 13. Came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that them the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that, verse 14, the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. It's when they lifted up their voices to the Lord. Men and women, let's not hold back in our praise of God. Maybe you're of the sort you don't like to hear your voice. Let it out. You're not singing to men and women around you. You're singing unto God. He is worthy of it all. You know why? Because we want to see the glory of the Lord descend. We want to see the glory of the Lord revealed. That's what happened here when they left it up. Their voices. This was a day of joyfulness in their thanksgiving. Verse 43 of our chapter. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also, the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar. God made them rejoice with great joy. The city rang with praises all around the city walls. It was as if Nehemiah wanted to remind the people that the walls had been rebuilt only by the mercy and by the faithfulness of their God. He had counted his blessings, and he had made sure that his thanksgiving was comprehensive, and it was certainly public, for the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. They heard the joy. It doesn't say they heard the voices of Jerusalem. It says they heard the joy of Jerusalem. The joy of their hearts. It's a blessed thing when others can take note of the praise of God's people and of the joyfulness about God's people. You know, men and women, it's a good testimony in itself of God's goodness before an unbelieving world. Let's not be ashamed to hide the joy of our heart, what God has done for us, that we might present it before others. Let me also show you tonight its permanence. We've looked at this special day in the city of the thanksgiving at the completion of the walls. But the question might be asked, was their thanksgiving permanent? Or did it evaporate away? Was it the spirit of thanksgiving just something that was temporary and transient, or was it lasting? Well, I believe we get the answer to that. Verse 44, we didn't read it, but let's read it now. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offerings, for the first fruits, for the tithes, to gather into them out of the fields of the cities the portions of the law for the priests and Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of their purification according to the commandment of David and of Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, they were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. And all Israel, in the days of Zerubbabel, in the days of Nehemiah, gave the portions of the singers and the porters, every day his portion. And they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. So grateful were the people to God for his help, for his faithfulness in seeing the walls rebuilt, that they take steps now to make sure that there was that permanent reminder of their gratitude. And that's essentially what we're reading in the words of verse 44 and the words of verse 47. You see, there was the meeting of what God required them to do now. And it was in accordance to his law. I refer you back to Numbers 18 to get that little piece. Numbers chapter 18, verse 21. And it says there, "And behold, I've given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." Verse 24, "But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance." Those who waited, it says there in verse 44 of our chapter, "And for the Levites that waited," it simply means those that served in the temple. For those that did so, they were given their portion every day. And the knock-on effect of that was that the priests and the Levites, by this material support as servants of the temple, were enabled to do their work without having to support themselves by other means, by going back to the fields. The singers and the porters were given their everyday portion. And you know, it's not something just for the Old Testament, because we have Paul speaking about it to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5, and verse 17, he's quoting from the Scriptures in the Old Testament. He says, "Let the elders rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the Scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." And he's quoting from the law. What we notice especially from this is the people manifesting their gratitude as the people of God. People were moved to give their tithes to the priests and to the Levites out of gratitude for God, for what God had done for them. And you know, men and women, that's the best motivation. That's the best motivation for giving anything. It's for all that the Lord has done for us. It's a glorious and it's a joyful picture that is presented before us here. But the little caveat that I leave with you is simply this: the truth of thanksgiving is also connected with prayer. I think we've seen it already with Mattaniah, brought that out at the start. But if we remember Philippians 4 and verse 6, it simply says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God." It ought to be a major part of our supplication before the Lord. We don't want to follow the example of the 9 lepers who were healed, but they never came back to thank the Lord. Thanksgiving ought to be a major part of our praying. Neither is it a bad thing to set aside those occasions for definite thanksgiving. Maybe a particular answer to prayer. Maybe a specific victory over the enemy that you have enjoyed. It may give rise to a specific time where you thank the Lord. What a blessing to be able to join with others in our thanksgiving, and to tell others of how grateful we are to the Lord. And when we offer our thanksgiving, may we do it with great joy. It should show in her face. Because here we see these people with great joy rejoicing in the Lord, praising the Lord. The psalmist, he repeatedly is found exhorting us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Doesn't say it has to be in tune, but it's a joyful noise. Because the joy is in the heart over a soul that's been redeemed. May God, men and women, enable us not to forget to bring our offering of thanksgiving unto the Lord, even in these days. And I tell you, the ungodly will notice it. For here's a little thing that I want you to remember before we come to prayer. Happiness is not dependent on outward circumstances. It's upon the inward focus. Do you know that? Do you understand that? There's many people out there, and they're seeking happiness tonight, and they're seeking it in their money, and they're seeking it in their bank balance, and they're seeking it in their possessions, and all the rest of it. Happiness is not found in outward circumstances. It's upon the inward focus. And the people in Nehemiah 12, at this dedication of the walls, they had their focus in the right place. It was unto God. A little proverb sums it up. Proverbs 15, in the words of verse 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. A merry heart. You got such a heart tonight? We ought to have. Our redemption is not through the sacrifices of bulls and cows, but through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. We have a soul out of hell. We have a body out of the grave. There ought to be that joyfulness as we come with our thanksgiving unto the Lord. May the Lord bless even those few thoughts to your hearts tonight for your encouragement and for our challenge.